Hello, everybody, and welcome to Non Sequitur News for March 6th, 2025. It's Season 4, Episode 65. I am Mayor Watt, and along with the sentient AI that isn't available right now, I'm going to go over, actually, just 10 articles. We're going to start with Grateful Dead Beer, Star Wars Popcorn Buckets, A Mysterious Block List, Delta Airlines' Newest Plane Plans, or Plip, something like that. Asteroid mining startup, 20 butterflies lost since 2020. Who stole 635,000 Swift tickets? The rumored Lucas Menace cameo, plastic epoch in bird nests, and Nintendo wins a piracy case impacting the EU. Everything is powered by ometown.com, so go over there and become a citizen. That'd be great. Follow us on Twitch and YouTube. Download the podcasts wherever pod is caught. It's a fresh catch every day. Couldn't make yesterday's though, so I'm doing the time machine. So it'll be for everybody who wants the episode, they can get it on time because, you know, we're in a time machine doing yesterday's show. We'll do tonight's show. Well, tomorrow's show, Friday's show at 7 p.m. Maybe a little earlier. Anyway, stick around. All right, everybody, let's get into this. The very first article is over on the Hatch Ideas channel. Wait. I'm going to talk about this. I'm pulling it back tomorrow from the 7th to the 6th. You're going to find out that Walgreens is going private in a $10 billion deal after being publicly traded. This is a bonus. This is number 11, actually, but I wanted to talk about it. It's been publicly traded for nearly a century. And Walgreens is going private. So I'm warning everybody now. Expect prices to go up, offerings to go down, capabilities to be retracted. You're going to get less and pay more because mergers and acquisitions do exactly that. Sharon Chibu over at entrepreneur.com put the article together. Walgreens' market value has dropped from $100 billion in 2015 to about $9.8 billion today, and that's largely because of competition. Now a company is buying it, making it private. Good luck. Anyway, according to the Wall Street Journal, so you can see how this is actually from the Wall Street Journal and others have talked about it, but it's through Entrepreneur to us. We're talking about it here today. Sycamore would pay $11.45 a share in cash, giving the deal an equity value of around $10 billion. Shareholders could receive an additional $3 per share, according to proceeds from sales of Walgreens' primary care assets. So they're breaking off a portion of it already. The deal will close on the fourth quarter of 2025 with a total value of up to $23.7 billion, factoring debt and possible future payouts. When completed, Walgreens common stock will no longer be listed in NASDAQ, and it'll become yet another private equity company, where only a few get to benefit from it being public, and there will be no transparency, no nothing. You won't know anything about it. So Walgreens has been publicly traded since 1927. Over the past decade, the drugstore chain has faced persistent financial challenges that have dropped its market value from $100 billion to $10 billion, according to this, but closer to $23.7 billion, factoring in everything else. And the simple fact is, costs have increased. If you keep on sucking value out of it, it won't be able to expand, and poor management and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of things that play into it. Competition is just one of them. But if you don't know what you're doing, if you end up kind of wet in the bed because generation after generation, it gets moved from person to person, this is what happens. But primarily, I'd say that competition is the driving force. But what competition is there really? It's probably another equity company. Anyway, Walgreens grew nearly 9,500 stores in 2018, but has since closed about 1,000 locations and is in the early stages of a turnaround plan to close 1,200 or more to cut costs. Why? Only 6,000 of its U.S. stores were profitable. Walgreens CEO Tim Wentworth said in an earnings call in October, but why? Your supply chain management must suck. And that sucks because now there's going to be more cuts, more stores closed. Anyway, let's get into the real show. The first article for the 6th, March 6th show is The Grateful Dead Just Dropped Their Own Beer. And for the sake of time, I'm going to jump over to Vice.com, where this is sourced from. Kyle Philippi put the article together. Grateful Dead Juicy Pale Ale. So it looks like it's going to be a New England pale ale. That's usually what gets described as juicy. The Delaware-based brewery has fallen under the ownership of Boston Beer Company. It has released special 6-packs and 12-ounce cans called Grateful Dead Juicy Pale Ale. Being that the person was in Delaware at the time, they proudly say that they're amongst the first to get their hands on some of these. I wish that I could talk about some of the local beers that I have. Oh my goodness. This is the first time that the two parties have released an extended beer together. In the past, the brewery has done special limited edition releases with the band's imaging that dates back to 2013, so a decade there. Anyway, there's more information about this, but the flavor profile is described as having hints of pineapple, mango, passion fruit. So it is a NIPA. It's a New England pale ale. They're calling it a juicy pale ale, but it's a NIPA. The relationship between the brewery and the band traces back to its roots. I don't even know how to pronounce the last name. I don't think I've ever heard of anything other than... Anyway, Calagione, being a deadhead himself, he told Forbes that he was about 13 years old when he purchased Shakedown Street album. Since then, he's consumed thousands of hours with the music and has been doing that over the last 4 decades and consuming probably some serious beer, too. Anyway, sounds good. It says there are 18 concerts scheduled between March 20th and May 17th. The Dead and Company's residency at the Las Vegas Sphere. And the beer will be there every day or every show. Let's keep going. The next article is over in the Marvel Channel. Disneyland's new Star Wars popcorn buckets probably smell great on the inside, actually. The Season of the Force reminds us all about the theme parks will never be the leaders, forever be the leaders in the... Reminds us that theme parks will forever be the leaders in the popcorn bucket arms race, is what this article says. It's over at Gizmodo. Sabina Graves put the article together, and it has a Tauntaun and a Jawa. Cutting open either of those would probably be bad. But Tauntaun Popcorn Bucket will be released April 8th. Is there really a Jawa Sipper will be released on May 4th? So, because it's the Season of the Force, may the 4th be with you. Anyway, says that's not all. Oga Cantina's Oga's Cantina will get a new tiki-style mug with a mythosaur carving into the bone of one of the finest libation container fit for a bounty hunter. So if those don't end up costing hundreds of dollars on eBay, I don't know what will. Anyway, and there's a new Death Star popcorn bucket to boot, and it'll be looming presence inside Disneyland's Galaxy Edge, Cat Sokka's Kettle and Beverage carts with popped grains and Galma garlic puffs, and Tomorrowland's Galactic Grill with fries. All right. At Disney's Grand Californian Great Hall cart, you can get the Death Star with a side of space rock cookies. There's some more cups and more libation pictures there, a couple of drinks. So Star Wars Season of the Force begins March 28th at the Disneyland Resort and will run until May 11th before the theme park celebrates its 70th anniversary kickoff later this month. Time is ripping by. All right, the next article is over in the Marvel Channel. Mysterious blocklist prevents former Meta employees from returning. Managers have hit walls trying to rehire former employees due to mysterious and unexplained blocks on their profiles. Thomas Maxwell over at Gizmodo.com put the article together. The deck statement says managers have hit walls trying to rehire former employees due to a mysterious and unexplained block on their profiles. Meta conducted mass layoffs in 2022 and 2023, letting go tens of thousands of employees in successive waves in order to make the company leaner and more efficient, i.e. more profitable for the few costing people who were probably quite effective. But you never know. I guess they don't rise to the top. There is an old mantra in business about this kind of thing. Unfortunately, however, at least dozens, it says, it's like never nudes, dozens of us. Dozens of these individuals have been iced out during the application process, even if they had met or exceeded expectations during their earlier tenure and were not dismissed for any wrongdoing. Apparently, former employees can be added to these lists with little effort. When an employee is offboarded, an email asks them to indicate whether the employee is hireable again. It is possible that these employees were just added because someone did not like them, or maybe Meta has simply increased its standards. Sure. Let's keep going. The next article is over in the Mobile channel. Delta Airlines is making a new plane, and it looks kind of like a stealth bomber. And the article is over at QuartzQZ.com. By Kevin Williams. The aircraft will seat up to 250 passengers and be able to use existing airport infrastructure. I don't know how they'll get close enough to the gates, but okay. So the exterior design of a commercial jet hasn't changed much in the past 70 years, and inside it's not much different either. There are still screaming babies, beverage carts hitting your leg, and pretzel bags that won't open. Never had these problems. Screaming babies, but hey, if you don't know what air pressure is and you go up in an airplane, you would be a crying baby too, and maybe you are sometimes anyway. Big baby. Anyway, but Sheldon Jacobson, a futurist and professor of computer science at the University of Illinois Granger College of Engineering, says he would not expect to see these planes full of passengers in the sky anytime soon. Says he's always intrigued by the boundaries of research pushed forward to achieve a better mousetrap. That's a phrase that I always say in my talks. You build a better mousetrap and smarter mice show up. The advantages are that such a green airplane would reduce emissions and be more energy efficient, all positives. The standard for air travel safety is exceedingly high. Combine that with passenger comfort and you have a very high bar to overcome. Well, I don't know if we've been really hitting it out of the park, considering there have been 4 or something like that plane crashes this year, I think it is, that we know of. Kind of notorious ones from Boeing. Never mind. Let's just keep walking. The next article is over on the Mobile channel. Asteroid mining startup loses its spacecraft somewhere beyond the moon. Astroforge's attempt to launch the first commercial deep space mission fell apart shortly after liftoff. Basically, it's tumbling out past the moon. Passant Robbie over at Gizmodo.com put the article together. California-based startup Astroforge launched its Odin spacecraft on February 26 on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. The probe was headed toward a small asteroid to scan it for valuable minerals, metals. In service of the company's ambitious goal of mining asteroids for profit, wildly expensive, I'm sure, Astroforge was also hoping to become the first company to launch a commercial mission to deep space with its in-house spacecraft, a dream that fell apart shortly after launch. Yeah, so apparently it's tumbling out past the moon. Astroforge is working on developing technologies for mining precious metals from asteroids millions of miles away, and the company launched its first mission in April of 2023 to demonstrate its ability to refine asteroid material in orbit. Its initial task was not going as well as planned, as the company struggled to communicate with its satellite. Its second mission, they opted to build its spacecraft in-house to avoid some of the problems encountered during its first mission. Astroforge built the $3.5 million spacecraft in less than 10 months. "We know how to build these craft," is what they say here in a quote. "These have been built before. They just cost $1 billion, is what they say in this quote. How do we do it for a fraction of the cost? saying in Astroforge's recent update, at the end of the day, like, you got to effing show up and take a shot, right? You have to try. Yeah, with whose money? Come on. You know, we know that it's really cavalier to just let a spaceship just burn up and launch and just go, oh, it's a great fireworks show, when it's not your effing money. Anyway, Astroforge is still planning on launching a third mission, Vestry. The spacecraft is designed to travel to the company's target near-Earth asteroid and dock with the body in space. This time it's hitching a ride, apparently, on Intuitive Machines' third mission to the moon. All right. Next article is over in the Mobile Channel. Large-scale analysis reveals 20% of butterflies in the U.S. have disappeared in the last 25 years. 2025 just started, so 24 years. But anyway, butterflies are beloved creatures, apparently, that inspire art and play an important ecological role. But according to new research featuring faculty members from Binghamton University, State University of New York, these cherished insects are disappearing at an alarming rate. So this is from Binghamton University. It's published over at phys.org. And yeah, they did a looking across 76,000 surveys, the study revealed the butterfly abundance fell by 22% between 2000 and 2020. So to put it frankly, every 5 butterflies in the U.S. at the turn of the century, there were only 4 remaining. This is the most comprehensive analysis of butterflies in the U.S. and at such a big spatial scale. But what does it mean? What does it matter? What is actionable about this other than awareness? So I guess we can have butterfly sanctuaries, but, you know, nature is butterflies' sanctuary. The study takes into account the variations in collection protocol and regions to produce comparable results for hundreds of species. Using data integration approaches, the team examined how butterfly abundances changed regionally and individually for the 342 species that had enough data. So abundance refers to the total number of individuals of a butterfly species within a given area, and during the 2-decade period examined, 33% of butterfly species showed significantly declining trends in abundance. Many show extreme declines. 107 species declined more than 50%. Let's keep going. The next article is over in Technology Today. Cybercrime crew stole $635,000 in Taylor Swift concert tickets. New York prosecutors say that 2 people working at a third-party contractor for the StubHub online marketplace made $635,000 after almost 1,000 tickets were taken and reselling them online. So Sergio Gatlin, here is Taylor Swift pointing at all of those people who bought tickets that were actually stolen from the marketplace. New York prosecutors say that the 2 working at a third-party contractor for the StubHub online ticket marketplace made $635,000. As the prosecutors explained, the vast majority of these stolen tickets were for Taylor Swift's Eras tour. By the way, Sergio Gatlin is over at bleepingcomputer.com, which does great forensic breakdowns of cybersecurity-related issues. Well, regardless of what these numbnuts did, if they're found guilty, they each face a potential maximum sentence of 3 to 15 years in prison if convicted of the top count. The investigation is still ongoing, with prosecutors trying to determine the extent of this operation, including other potential co-conspirators yet to be discovered. The next article is over in the Mobile Channel. A long-rumored George Lucas cameo in The Phantom Menace has finally been uncovered. As part of a new interview with former Industrial Light and Magic matte painter Caroline Green, a long speculated George Lucas cameo in the first Star Wars prequel has been found. James Whitbrook put the article together. It's over at gizmodo.com. I'm not sure where it is, though. It says in a sneaky Easter egg from The Phantom Menace that's finally been confirmed. Clayton Sandell found the answer to a long-rumored mystery that somehow George Lucas made a blink-and-you'll-miss-it appearance in Theed's Royal Palace during The Phantom Menace. This is from Caroline Jett Green for their newsletter. I don't know where they are. I don't know what this... Here it is in slightly more detail, courtesy of one of Green's original matte paintings or files. The moment comes just under 2 hours into the film as Padme and a squad of Naboo guards run through the hall. It turns out way in the background, in the arch above the huge window, there's a small oval relief that has none other than George Lucas painted into it. That's not a cameo. Give me a break. Anyway, well, you heard it here. So go over there and read the rest of this. I'm going to move on. More important issue here is, depends on if you find it important or not. But anyway, it's over in the Marvel channel. Plastic triggered a new geological epoch, and the evidence may be in bird nests. Researchers reconstructed the history of an unusual 30-year-old bird nest based on the expiration dates printed on plastic waste in the structure. So, yeah, as time has gone on, they've built more on top, and now it looks like they're using detritus from an electronics manufacturing company, for crying out loud. Margarita Bassi over at Gizmodo.com put the article together. Many different birds, including the common coot, have started incorporating human-made food and drink packaging into their nests. This allowed three biologists to reconstruct the individual histories of dozens of common coot nests in Amsterdam using a simple trick, reading the expiration dates on the plastic. So kind of interesting. There's only one problem. These nests aren't supposed to have a history because common coots don't normally reuse their nests from year to year. As detailed in a study in February 25 of the journal The Scientific Naturalist, not only has plastic turned bird nests into time capsules, but it might also be fundamentally impacting the evolution of certain species, because now they can reuse these nests. Plastics and their artificial, more durable materials are used for nest construction. New behavior, namely the reuse of nests from previous years, may appear. This, in turn, may create a history of multiple years of nest use, reuse, reconstruction to be studied using the stratigraphy, because I'm the strategist of debatable or datable, and maybe plastic debris in the nest. I'm rambling at this point, I swear. I don't know what's going on. I guess I need more caffeine, but I'm drinking nothing but caffeine-free drinks. Anyway, you flip through these nests like through pages of a history book, uncovering the past, Heimstra said in a Naturalist Biodiversity Center statement. It's not Naturalist, it's Naturalists. Anyway, Heimstra counted 635 artificial items, in which 32 were food-related waste with dates going back decades. Almost half of those datable materials... Not datable as in you can go out on a date, but date as in you can put a date on them. We're from McDonald's, and they even found a Mars wrapper advertising the 1994 FIFA World Cup in the United States. Look at that. Oh, and COVID masks and stuff like that. Ugh, it's all disgusting. Anyway, humans are so dirty. Anyway, the cereal deposits constructed out of artificial material may not only document the history of a bird nest, but also reflect the history of our Anthropocene, so which is the epoch with humans. So it's difficult to say how future researchers will interpret our layers of waste, but all of it is probably going to be deemed sad and disgusting. This next article, and the last one for the March 6th, 2025 non sequitur news, is Nintendo wins major French piracy case with EU-wide consequences, significant not only for Nintendo, but for the entire games industry. Nintendo has won a lengthy legal battle in the French Supreme Court against the company DStorage, which owns and operates the file sharing website. I guess it's onefichier.com, in a judgment with Japanese giant trumpets as a victory for the entire games industry. The verdict follows years of hearings and appeals and means that any file sharing company based in Europe must remove illegal copies of games when asked to do so by the copyright holder. If they don't, they can now be held accountable for the content and face huge fines. Well, that was the purpose of Safe Harbor, but anyway, you can't put a company in jail. So just turn yourself into a company and you can't go to jail as long as you're just saying that you can't control all of the people. And I'm more for that. I don't think that an online server, well, anyway, I don't pirate anything, so it doesn't even matter. Unfortunately, games are wildly expensive, so the responsible thing to do is speak with your wallet to begin with. Don't buy games. Don't buy anything. If you can't afford it, you shouldn't be buying it, particularly games, because you don't need those. Some of us feel we do, but anyway. Nintendo's message to consumers is not to download pirate copies of Nintendo games. I agree, but don't charge wild amounts. But, you know, you don't become a multi-million or billion-dollar company because you charge $20 for a game. You have to charge $70 now because of inflation. Let's trace back. Let's do that exercise. I would like to challenge some people to do this. If you can hear my voice and you care to do it, what is the source of inflation? What is it? You know, I know what inflation is. But what is the source of it? Because too much money in the system is not adequate enough. At some point, somebody has to sit there and say, at a baseline level, let's jack the freaking price up. And then everybody else says, oh, I can jack the freaking price up. So $70 games, folks. And one that I'm looking at is $100. You got to be out of your mind. Yet I've done that in the past. Not anymore. No more, no more. Putting my foot down. Anyway, Nintendo took action against DStorage after the company ignored requests to stop hosting illegal copies of Nintendo software. In 2021, a Paris court found that DStorage was indeed hosting pirated games and ordered that it pay Nintendo nearly $1 million in damages. DStorage appealed the decision but lost in 2023 and was ordered to pay further costs. Well, DStorage's final avenue was the French Supreme Court, where it argued that a court order was required before it had to remove specific content from its file sharing services. The court rejected this argument, and that will be the final judgment in this matter. But you can always make the claim that something is under your control, but you're the rights holders. But if it's software, it's easily discernible that something is pirated or not. It's kind of insane, but anyway. So we are going to load up our, emulator, and that's going to bring us back to the front page of ohmtown.com for March 6th, 2025. Go back. You can do it too. You can actually go back all the way to 2020, although that is slowly going away. At some point, 2020 articles will go away. We've only actually been public for consumption for the last. This is the start of the fourth year of the show. So we're basically tentatively going to be purging everything older from 20 all the way up to 2022. And then stopping right here at January 2022 when we started doing the show. That way there's continuity of our links. But other than that, we're not going to go back further. That said, be sure to go over to ohmtown.com and sign up or sign in. You can actually sort stuff into basically articles that you want to follow and articles that you don't want to. You can go in there and actually make comments. So once you're in here and you're logged in, you can make comments. You can sort things. You can create lists. You can mail those lists to people. Basically, it's a social network on the inside of this with your own profile page and all of that kind of stuff. But it's mostly used by me for news aggregation on the front page, and under each one of these six categories and the 50 channels, I'm on the verge of activating five more. So we're going to be breaking this 50 barrier here. At any rate, stick around. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you enjoy tonight's show or tomorrow's show on the 7th at 7 PM. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we do six different shows, three on Saturday, three on Sunday, each with their own content. But that's it. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.